This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana. November 6, 2024, and we're now a few hours removed from Donald John Trump being declared the winner of the 2024 presidential election. Our show, by the way, originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and Robin Dow and Renee Martin are producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Donald Trump is now the modern-day Grover Cleveland. He'll be president number 45 and 47. The man from Gotham City returns to the White House in 2 months and 14 days. And unlike the last time, the person he beat will be there, and the person he defeated, Kamala Harris, will be the person who ratifies the election for Donald John Trump, who did win convincingly. He will, in the overall vote, receive more than 5 million votes more than his opponent, which means he now, in two elections, is down by a little more than 4 million, three elections, 4 million votes overall. He lost to Hillary Clinton by about 3 million, and then he lost to Joe Biden by about 7 million, a little over 7 million. And this time around, he won, and it's really not close at all. 32 states for Donald Trump, as it appears he will carry every swing state. And if that happens, he'll have 32. Harris has 18 in the District of Columbia. And last night, Mr. Trump, who turned 78 years old on the 14th day of June and survived an assassination attempt 1 month later, he gave his perspective.
Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission. The task before us will not be easy, but I will bring every ounce of energy, spirit, and fight. Many people have told me.
All right, that's Donald John Trump. And he is the most powerful person on the planet as president of the elect of the United States and soon to be president again. And I don't think there's any doubt that Donald Trump now reigns as the most famous person in the history of the world. There are more people in the world, and most people know who he is, and most people have an opinion of him. And the United States, it's divided. Around the world, he is not liked in many places, but we'll see how he does, and for our country's sake and the world's sake, let's hope he does well. And the markets, of course, respond to Donald Trump. He is a man from New York City. He grew up in the shadow of Wall Street in Queens, not so far away. It is a small city when it comes to land. And today, after his election, less than 40 minutes into the trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up by more than 3%. And with us to talk about this and developments to come, Fred Columbus Dent, 877-217-5757, your number. The markets so far, they like Donald Trump coming back. Is there anything to be made of this, or is this just a blip that we'll have to see where it goes?
Well, I mean, so far, the first 40 minutes, so far, so good. I suspect that a bit of this is a relief rally in that the win was decisive. We're not going to be lingering on for weeks. So don't expect that it's going to continue to necessarily keep going. Once the market begins to digest some of the realities as they unfold, of the policies that it expects for the Trump administration to put into place, a little bit more sobriety will rule. And that doesn't mean the markets are going to go down, but euphoria will dissipate. What I'm noticing is that, and this is pretty standard, some of the sectors that perform favorably under Republicans are doing well this morning: defense, financials, crypto. Bitcoin's at an all-time high of 74,000. The U.S. dollar is very strong. And our old friend Tesla.
Yeah, look at that. Elon Musk, as Trump occasionally calls him, Leon Musk. But Leon is doing really well today, isn't he? Up 12% in 40 minutes.
Yeah, he bet right. And Jeff Bezos also seemed to have bet right when he did not endorse via the Washington Post Trump. So Amazon is in less danger than it would have otherwise been.
Amazon up a paltry 1.4%, which in 40 minutes is really good. But Elon, a.k.a. Leon Musk, is up 11.7% in the early going. So go Tesla. And I'm sure Andy Anderson is proud as punch. And we miss you, Andy. And Andy, as we know, was a Trumper. And he liked him, I think, primarily because of his tax cuts. Now, of course, we had raging deficits, the worst in American history under Donald Trump, and we've had some bad ones under previous presidents, including Biden, but not to the level of Trump. Now, does the market respond better to tax cuts, or does it adversely respond at all to huge deficits?
Well, a little of both, but I think there's a direct correlation for the companies that make up the S&P 500, because a cut in their taxes, which is what Trump is proposing, from 21% down to 15%, goes directly to their bottom line. And stock prices are driven over time primarily by their earnings. And so fewer taxes, more earnings in the pocket of the shareholders.
Again, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And I know many of our listeners are depressed and some are joyful. And generally those who like talk programming, they gravitate to National Public Radio because NPR is the one place where you're going to hear several sides of an issue rather than a monolithic conservative side. Conservatives own the airwaves when it comes to talk, and that's why in some ways, and I hate to say it because I'm a beneficiary, but they come to this show and others like it because they have no place to go unless they want to hear a conservative diatribe. And most of us like to hear some sort of balanced presentation. And right now it's hard to find balance. But are the divisions going to cause any ripples in the market? I mean, if we have riots in the streets, I don't think we're going to have another insurrection. But what about the mood of the country right now?
I have no idea what the mood of the country. There are people.
Will it affect the market?
Probably not. The market responds to economic factors primarily, and indeed consumer sentiment and some of the other factors that could have underlying effects. But I just don't think it's going to be that great. One division that I'm looking at, though, right now is that we still have a House that is undecided. And I went back and ran the numbers since 1953 when Republicans have swept the presidency and Congress, meaning a unified government, mm-hmm. the returns on average under that scenario have been about 13 or 14% per year. But when a Republican president is in power, but you have a divided Congress, those returns on an average annual return are about cut in half.
877-217-5757. Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on. Good morning, sir. Please be brief.
Morning. So if we're talking about like financials and stuff, when the cost of goods, and that's everything, both in manufacturing in the United States with imported items and just imported goods coming into the United States, when all of that goes up by 20%, exactly how good is that going to do for the market?
I'm glad that you bring up tariffs, because I personally and most economists agree that tariffs certainly will be inflationary. I mean, the consumer is the one who will bear the brunt of that. And they also lead to conflict and distortions in the economy, and rarely economically benefit the economy as a whole. The problem for Trump going forward is that he's inheriting an economy, despite people's opinions, that the data show is pretty robust, and inflation is back to where it was before, around the 2% range. So it'll be interesting to see if the tariffs, which, by the way, Trump can decide on unilaterally with his fiat power. He doesn't have to get permission to do that. It'll be interesting to see what effect that has on consumer pricing.
877-217-5757. Please be brief in your remarks to Fred Dent. Jake and Amy. Jake, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim and Fred. I wanted to say I love tariffs. But I wanted to know, Jim, do you think Democrats will be angry when President Trump follows through on his promise and pardons everybody that entered the Capitol on January 6th?
I imagine some Democrats and some Republicans would be angry about that. Do you think he should do it, Jake?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Well, that's your opinion, and I'm sure you're very joyful at the development of last night. So I hope for your sake and our country's sake and the world at large that we do very well under soon-to-be President Trump once again. And he is an amazing story. I'll give you that. It's the biggest comeback in American or maybe world political history. And Jake, I suspect you voted for him 3 times, haven't you?
I did, yes.
Boom, boom, boom. Go, Jake. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling. And the mayor's race, of course, which we'll talk a bit about in the days to come. We do have a runoff on December 7th, and in that one, Sharon Weston Broome was on the ballot for a third consecutive cycle. And in her case, she has won twice and is now trying to win a third time. She can constitutionally get a third term. But I think the inertia is such in both cases that people are invested when they vote in somebody twice. It's hard to get them to change. Now, Mayor Broome got significantly fewer votes than she did last time, which normally would be an alarm bell, but she drew a Republican opponent, and this is a Democratic parish, so we shall see. A few more minutes with Fred Dent. We're going to take a short break, and we will come back with him. So please be brief, and then it's Mary Patricia Ray, who I think is still in Pennsylvania. She was trying to help the cause, and perhaps Kamala Harris, among other misgivings, probably realizes she should have chosen Josh Shapiro as her running mate, the governor of Pennsylvania. Not that it would have mattered overall, but she probably would have won that state, which would have helped, back in 89.3 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Fred Columbus Dent, and then we go to Mary Patricia Ray, who was on the trail working for Kamala Harris. And as we know, it didn't turn out so well, and Kamala Harris is expected to address the nation and the world from Howard University, where she was hoping to give a acceptance speech last night, but it turns out she will have to give a concession speech today. Let's get, before we go with the phone lines, a couple of developments I think that are worth mentioning is that a listener asked about renewable energy stocks. Fred, how are they doing in the early going?
Well, not surprisingly, they're down about 15 to 20%
today. Yeah.
Solar companies and things like that.
Okay. And tomorrow, the Fed's expected to make another interest rate cut.
Yeah, the market's pricing in a 25 basis point or one quarter of 1% cut. What's interesting to watch, though, is it relates to mortgage interest rates. The mortgage market and housing interest rates largely follow the 10-year U.S. Treasury. And as of this morning, that Treasury yield is rising, which means that it's anticipating potential inflation down the road. And that would mean that mortgage interest rates would not fall any further, at least for the time being.
Okay. Now, Renee and Robin say we're going to take three calls if you're fast. And that means you got to cooperate because we've got a lot to talk about today. But let's go to Patrick and Inniswald. Patrick, you're on with Fred. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Do you think Joe Biden is going to pardon his son, Hunter Biden, before he leaves office?
Fred Dent has no opinion or knowledge of that.
I don't think he will. No, I don't think he will. Gretchen in St. Francisville. Gretchen, good morning.
Thank you, Jim. This is concerning me so much. It's a casualty of this, in this election of the respect for truth and belittling those of great work and character such as Biden. Thank you.
Thank you, Gretchen. James on Clay Cut. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Right. What happens if Trump starts modifying the Federal Reserve System?
Ah, interesting. I don't think the markets will like that very much at all, because once you politicize, and they claim to be relatively independent, once you politicize it any more than it's going to be, then Katie bar the door. We're going to have, who knows what could happen under that scenario. But if the president were to control interest rates, that would I can't imagine a scenario in which that's going to create any good.
Well, and we'll see. Trump has given every indication that he will do things others would not, and he may try to change the Constitution and seek another term beyond this one. But he will take office as the oldest person to ever start a term at 78 years old. So that means if he were to get a constitutional change and be reelected, he would be 82, and then maybe he would be reelected at 86, and we would be not only be looking at Grover Cleveland, but FDR.
No comment.
Well, it is, it's going to give us a lot to talk about, and we're glad we have the most enlightened audience in radio along for the ride. And I can just hear the joy in Patrick and Inniswald, the state's voice, and in Jake and A. Mead, and that's what makes our country great. You know, you win some, you lose some. And for those who didn't like the outcome last night, we want to hear from you, too. 877-217-5757. Mary Patricia Ray, who is a Democratic consultant but works for Republicans, and she also was working in the Cleo Fields campaign And Roy Fletcher is a Republican who was working for Cleo Fields, and he was right on with his predictions yesterday. Let's start there briefly. Congressman Fields will go to Capitol Hill 28 years after he left, and he get 51% of the votes. Elbert Guillory ran an exceptional race, coming in second with 38, but Cleo is the guy returning to Capitol Hill, and I'm sure you're very happy about that, Mary Patricia Ray.
Well, I am very blessed to work for some amazing clients and candidates, and Congressman-elect Fields is certainly at the top of that list with a storied career that has really focused on real people. And I think that's why he won last night. We see some of the Democrats missing the mark on hitting those issues that people really care about. And I know that the congressman is excited to get to D.C. as soon as possible and get to work.
And nationally, I mentioned that I think you're still in Pennsylvania, aren't you?
Jim, I'm coming to you live this morning from the shadows of Independence Hall. Not kidding.
That's
sitting
wonderful.
Out here looking at statue of John Barry this morning, and came here to do a little Mecca on my pilgrimage and remind myself that, we get a lot of hyperbole about what elections mean and what's going to happen. But Americans have cooler heads that often prevail. And I know some people are really excited this morning. Some people are really disappointed. But I came here just to remind myself that this is an experiment. And we got to keep it on the rails.
Well, Pennsylvania was the state that Kamala Harris had to win. As it turned out, Donald Trump could have won without Pennsylvania, but he carried, and I think Nevada and Arizona and Michigan, all of which have not officially been called for him, are going to go his way, meaning he will have carried every one, 7 for 7 of the swing states. And it was thought by many that Harris had the late momentum and that she might carry those three key states, the so-called blue wall, which is now no longer a wall, but Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. She lost all three of them. But could she have done anything differently? She ran a good campaign, but what could she have done to change the inertia of a Trump return to power?
I think that the Harris campaign, and when we all get done Monday morning quarterbacking or Wednesday morning quarterbacking, we're going to see that she did have a superior ground game and maybe the best ground game that's been executed by any presidential candidate ever. But it did not work. And what that tells me when I'm on a campaign and I knock the most doors and I call the most phones and I send the most texts and I have the most direct voter contact and I still don't win, that there are some bigger forces at work that should have been better anticipated. Mm-hmm. And, it was Republicans who won last night in many places in America. They don't like Marxian theory, Jim, but I think that they actually benefited from it. And what I mean by that is that material economic conditions really, really matter. We heard people like Bernie Sanders trying to warn us about this a long time ago. And Donald Trump made gains compared with 2020 and 2016 with people most at risk for economic failure. The people who are falling through the cracks and are increasingly marginalized in a corporatized, commoditized economy. And whatever our campaign did with the Harris-Walz folks and Pennsylvanians for Pennsylvania Democrats and everybody that was working here outside of Philly, where I've been the last week, to reach those voters, we could not overcome the sentiment that whoever is in office now has caused the most harm. And I really don't think there was anything else that could have been done. I think that the message should have been more economic from the beginning. But other than that, not too much that could have been done, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Well, all of those swing states were relatively close. Some were real close. Georgia was 2 points. And Kamala Harris only had a 107-day campaign. And she tried her best to stay positive. But I've seen this time and time again. As much as people say they want candidates to remain positive, they respond to negative advertising. And that transgender ad that the Trump campaign ran over and over and over in college and professional football broadcasts, it was devastating. And you combine that with a candidate who, as I said, was exotic, a black, female, Asian, Californian in an interracial marriage to a Jewish man. America just, we live in a prejudiced country, and enough people probably make decisions based on factors like that, that it hurt her. How much did it hurt her? Would she have won had she been a white male who was running against Donald Trump, Mary Patricia?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Jim, and that the only other thing that could have been done differently on the Democratic side is not setting up a campaign with, what, only 140 days or something like that?
107. 107.
Yeah, 107 for, you know, a black woman running against the odds, the racial odds in America. And the right track, wrong track numbers told us that she already had a problem. She knew she would have to outperform Joe Biden in these key counties across the country. And I think for our Louisiana listeners, like, I would liken it to this, that Joe Biden was where Kathleen Blanco was when she left office, and Trump was like Jindal. There was just a lot of buyer's remorse, whether logical or rational. You know, we can fight about that.
We'll be back with more after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. The day after Donald John Trump won an election, this time convincingly. His other two elections, of course, one was a defeat and the other was a narrow victory over Hillary Clinton. This one, there was no doubt. He won 32 states. He won all the swing states. He'll end up probably with 317 electoral votes, which some would call a landslide, and he'll win the overall vote by more than 5 million votes. So he is no doubt the person America chose to lead our country and be the leader of the free world for the next 4 years. Just a bit, we'll hear more from about this from two Republican supporters, Eric Gayrard and Daryl Glasper. They're both very Trumpian in their views, and we'll comment with them about some other elections as well. But Mary Patricia Ray is here with us for a few more moments, and your number is 877-217-5757. Mary Patricia is, of course, the political strategist who helped John Bel Edwards get to the mansion in 2015. Hard to believe next year it'll be 10 years. And I've often said, Mary Patricia, that in politics, the party out of power usually benefits when somebody in the other party is in the White House. And that opens a lane all over the country for Democrats who I think have a better chance now of being elected with Trump as president than they would as if Harris had won. Does that mean somebody like John Bel Edwards might have a comeback somewhere? He could run for the U.S. Senate next year against, or 2026 against Bill Cassidy, for example. What do you make of this possibility?
Well, you know, Jim, I believe in comeback. always. I think that is what makes American politics amazing, is that you can always come back with the right patience and the right plan. Though I do think that what we saw in Louisiana last night is not something that lends itself to a highly likely path for any Democrat to run for United States Senate in the near future. I never say never. And if you have a great candidate with a great story, all things are possible in this country and in our state. And I love that.
Well, in 2 years, we'll have a closed primary, and that means Bill Cassidy may have a difficult time getting the Republican nomination. And let's say somebody like Clay Higgins emerges as the Republican candidate, then John Bel Edwards, I think, would have a shot. And he would, of course, be running against the Trump administration, which often plays well in midterms, being the party out of power. So we shall see.
Yeah, we have to see whether Republicans can do what Democrats have failed to do when they have these situations. Mm-hmm. Can they keep the field clear and stop fighting with each other? And I would say they're a little bit better at that right now in Louisiana than we have been as Democrats.
Well, with Republicans likely to keep the House and certainly regaining the Senate and the White House and now have the governorship of Louisiana, it's first time I can remember in the years I've covered Louisiana politics when one party had all of it, every one of the office, major positions in a state, in our state, but that's where we are if the Republicans get the House, and they should. Let's go to, Robin and Renee tell me, if we do it really quick, we can get a couple callers in with Mary Patricia, but you got to be brief. Craig in Natchitoches. Craig, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, good morning, Mary Patricia and Jim. Quick question. Would Trump being a candidate, a generational type candidate, what will the Republicans do in 2028? Because there's just no way they'll have anybody like that.
Well, they got J.D. Vance, who went to the same university as Mary Patricia Ray, the Ohio State University.
Yes, sir. And I think J.D. Vance is one of the biggest winners in this election. That will come home to roost. And I think people won't like it as much as they think they will.
And Sherrod Brown went down for the count in Ohio.
Long time coming, in my opinion. I love Sherrod Brown, grew up with him and working on some of his campaigns, but he has not been there for fellow Democrats in a lot of times, and he found himself the last one standing.
Okay, final caller for Mary Patricia, James and Metairie.
Hi, good morning, Jim. Yeah, J.D. Vance calling Kamala Harris trash. Question. Al Sharpton saying that Hispanics, especially Hispanic men, do not want a woman president and will no way would want a black woman president. How much did this play in the election?
Thank you, James. Mary Patricia?
Well, I mean, there are stereotypes. There are true stereotypes. The word machismo is a word used by, for, and with Hispanic voters. And I would say we saw the numbers bear it out. It's a real thing.
I hope we hear from Gustavo in Goodwood. He may have celebrated so much last night that he's unable to call this morning, but it would be nice to hear from him. He's a Hispanic Republican.
I do miss him, Jim.
Yeah, I love us. I love Gustavo. He did send me some rather aggressive emails last
Maybe
night.
Maybe he's hungover from celebrating.
Well, he sounded like he was having a good time, but Gustavo is one of those guys. You say machismo. He's definitely into machismo.
Definition.
And yeah. He says evil lost. That was just one of his many emails to me last night. Evil lost. So go Gustavo and Goodwood. And Mary Patricia, we do have a special session of the legislature starting. Your brief synopsis of where we are. Jeff Landry picked quite a time to have a session, but here
All right.
we are.
Well. No rest for the weary. I'm coming home for them to gavel in at 3:00, and we're going to do some tax reform. I think the governor's going to get a win because he's going to get something. He's a first-year governor, and I think there are some thoughts about what might be better than what he's proposed, but I think he's going to be a smart guy like he has been in these past special sessions and claim victory with something that sounds like tax reform, even if it's a phase-in. Back to Stelly. I don't know, Jim. It's like a tennis match.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Patricia, and we look forward to seeing you when you come back. Be safe, carrying precious cargo. Mary Patricia Ray returning from Independence Hall. And two gentlemen are in studio now who are Trumpers, and they're gloating big time. The G team, G for gloating and G for Gayrard and Glasper. Eric Gayrard and Daryl Glasper, and both of you anticipated this. In fact, when Eric was on the show a few weeks ago, he said, "Have me back so I can gloat." And here we are. And Daryl Glasper, who was one of the few people to pick Donald Trump to win in 2016 and was correct, their guy's back. Are you excited? You both look a bit subdued. Maybe it was a long night. Eric, what do you make of this?
Well, it's like Reagan said, it's morning in America, Jim. I am excited. And, I could see it coming just with the enthusiasm gap, if nothing else. It's kind of like pulling for LSU.
She had big rallies, so 75,000 people in Washington showed up.
Well, that was an anomaly.
No, she had big rallies everywhere.
But Trump had consistently big rallies.
She had bigger rallies, but he got more votes, a lot more votes.
He did. But you know, it's easier to pull for someone than against someone. And so
I'm not all that sure about that, by the way.
Well, but it's easier to pull for LSU than against Alabama this Saturday, for instance. So and I think that came home to roost.
Well, hold that thought about LSU-Alabama. But, but Daryl, do you think that this was more people wanting Trump back or just not being able to accept Harris? Which was it?
I just think that it was more individuals looking at the policies that had been in place for the last 4 years. Look, you know, to me, there's nothing to really gloat about or be all happy and overjoyed. You have half the country divided. You have bad policies that were being pushed on everybody in the country. And I think people was voting their pocketbook. Mayor Patricia Ray was right. It was the economy. It was just bad policies. It was the things that the community or communities around the country. And look, Trump won areas that were blue areas because of the bad policies.
Well, he did better than he did 4 years ago and almost everywhere, and she did worse than Biden almost everywhere. But there were factors because she was actually, as a presenter, she beat Trump in the debate. She did very well in the convention, but America wasn't ready for Kamala Harris. And when I say America, it's the Southeastern Conference. I'm looking, the SEC is now 35-1 for Trump in three elections. The 12 states have gone 35 times for Trump and once for Joe Biden in Georgia by 11,000 votes 4 years ago. Here it is, last night, folks. The SEC 160-0 for Trump, the rest of the country 251-157 for Harris. So the South is solid, the South has risen again, and when you look at these 12 states, Trump won by 34 points in Oklahoma, 31 in Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky, by 30 in Tennessee, by 23 points in Mississippi, by 22 percentage points in Louisiana, by 18 in South Carolina, by 14 in Texas, 13 in Florida, and 10 in Missouri, and 2 in Georgia. So Donald John Trump is going back to the White House thanks to the Southeastern Conference. And Robin and Renee have pulled up a song that a listener requested today that is apropos. It's certainly politically incorrect, but it was a big hit about 20 years ago from Hank Williams Jr. You remember this one?
If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the Southern States. The day Elvis passed away would be our national holiday. If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd make my Supreme Court down in Texas, and we wouldn't have no killers getting off free. If they were proven guilty, then they would swing quickly instead of writing books and smiling on TV. We'd all learn Cajun cooking in Louisiana, and I'd put that capital back in Alabama. We'd put Florida on the right track, 'cause we'd take Miami back and throw all them pushers in the slammer. Oh, if the South would have won, we'd have had it made.
All right, I think we've heard enough of Hank Williams Jr., who once was so drunk he fell off the stage at the old Centralplex. But 35-1 in the SEC, and remember, 12-0 last night in the Southeastern Conference for Donald John Trump, 160-0 in the SEC in the Electoral College, and Harris won the other 38 states in Washington, D.C., 251-157. Eric Gayrard, you being a son of the South, I'm sure, as Hubert Humphrey would say, you're pleased as punch.
Hubert Humphrey, former LSU graduate.
1940.
That's right. I am pleased, but, you know, it's more Trump is expanding the tent. You know, he's reaching into areas Republicans hadn't been, and the Democrats have gone loony left. And that's why America
all
reflected
right. Well,
it
we'll
last
have
night.
More with Glasper and Gayrard after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow, Renee Martin producing, and Daryl Glasper and E. Eric Gayrard. And we're letting them crow just a bit. Yesterday, Roy Fletcher, I'll give him his due, too. Do we have Roy? He was on our show yesterday, and he called it. We had Jim Kitchens, of course. He had a polling method that showed up to be terribly wrong. But Roy, who's an astute political person, and I think sometimes, like all of us, he may get his personal views in the way of reality. In 2020, for example, he predicted Trump would win, and he lost resoundingly to Biden. But he called it last night, and he did it on this show yesterday morning, tonight.
I don't believe that.
You're predicting Trump.
Yep.
Over 300 electoral votes?
Yes.
Okay. House and Senate?
The Senate will go 5 more Republican, maybe 6. House will go 10 to 12 more Republican.
All right. So you're predicting a...
And they'll have control of the government.
Okay. Caitlin?
I am not going to disagree with him.
All right. That was Caitlin Joshua, who was with him yesterday. And there are 568 electoral votes, and right now it's trending 317 for Trump, 251 for Harris, and as stated, in the Southeastern Conference, the 12 states 160-0 for Trump, and the other 38 states in the District of Columbia, 251-157 for Kamala Harris. 877-217-5757. Paul in Opelousas, you're on with Daryl Glasper and E. Eric Gayrard. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning to your guests. Have polls do they carry any weight now, or are you just kind of everybody just a luck of the draw?
What about polls? Now, mind you, the polls yesterday showed it to be a pretty much dead even race between Trump and Harris, and Trump's going to win by about 5 points. So it's about 5 points off, which is a pretty big gap. But last time, going on Election Day, Biden was expected to win by 8, and he won by 4.5. So they were off 3.5 points last time, too. Trump is a terribly hard person to poll. Eric, is it because people just don't want to say I voted for the guy or I'm going to vote for him? What is it?
It's changing, but he is toxic, obviously. But yeah, that's got to be it, because you can't put the man a target on the man. So
when you have a polarizing figure like Trump is a polarizing figure, it's very, very difficult for a person to get on a phone or with any kind of communication skills and say, hey, look, I'm going to vote for him in that reason. But let me tell you, polling is a snapshot of the dynamics of the time that poll is taken and then how to question. Anybody who's been around this game a long time understand that you can have weighted polls, you can have different type of samples, but polling is something that we all use to get a snapshot of what we think the outcome is going to be.
Well, we did have a mayor's election, and Daryl Glasper has reason to gloat about that. he was backing Sid Edwards, and he told me that Sid would run first, and that he did. 34 for Sid Edwards, 31 for Mayor Broome, and 28 for Ted James. So it'll be a runoff December 7th with Edwards and Broome. And Bill Huey says, how about that? Coach Sid got the highest percentage of votes without even running. That shows you how bad things are and how much people agree with me that Broome doesn't deserve a third term. So that's some of the sentiment. And Bill Huey is no Republican. He finishes by saying, I was so capitalized, hoping to see Trump die in prison. Now my only hope is that, well, never mind. We'll stop there. We'll stop there. But it's going to be an interesting race between the mayor and Sid Edwards, and I think the mayor's got to be the favorite. She's won twice before, and the two Democrats got 59% of the votes. But you're picking Sid Edwards. Surprise.
Listen to me. We have to fix the problem in Baton Rouge, Jim. We as a community cannot go any longer with crime rate. And what happened, what people don't really maybe not understand about Daryl Glasper is I love the African-American community. I'm talking about I love it. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care if you're Republican, you're Democrat. It made me who I am. And to be able to see the African-American community there's lack of housing, lack of a job opportunity, lack of economic development. Mm-hmm. And then you have, for 19 years, African-Americans over $1.1 or $2 billion. And our community look the way they look. No, it can't go any further. I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're Republican, you're Democrat, or independent. Something has to happen. Something has to change.
All right. Well, you're speaking as a man who actually coaxed Sharon Weston Broome into her first race ever, didn't you?
Yes, and let me explain to
you. Why don't you take credit for it?
Listen to me. You don't take credit for somebody else's abilities.
Well, if I remember right, Pearl George called you because you were running for the Metro Council and chewed you out, saying it wasn't your turn against
one of her friends. Look,
and you got Sharon Weston Broome in the race against. Is that what happened?
No, the greatest lesson I ever learned in my life was from a guy who was one of the most powerful politicians, and I have a world of respect. His name is Joe Delpit. I understood after that war that we were in that was really a political eye-opening, and I went to political school against one of those guys. So what I learned that if you're going to go against somebody who has a gang and a pack, I knocked on Woody's door and said, Woody.
Woody Jenkins. He was involved in this, too.
Woody Jenkins, Sharon Weston Broome, when she first relocated back to Baton Rouge. For all of your voters, your listeners, to understand what I saw. And when that call came to me, I said, okay, good. I'm going to get her some help while I run my race. I'm going to put in a race. Okay, so the name was given to me, and they said she's very educated, she's bright, and she has a heart and soul of gold. I mean, real spiritual, real, I mean, well, and, beautiful soul.
Yeah, she's a good one. She's never lost a race. And Daryl, I got to think she's going to win this time unless something unusual happens.
Let me say this to you, Jim. You know, I'm going to say this to you. I'm telling you, Baton Rouge is ready to go in another direction.
All right. Well, you may be preaching to the choir with your guest here. Candy in Goodwood says, didn't Eric Gayrod run for mayor last time around?
This broom don't sweep.
So I remember you got 1% of the vote.
I did. Well, yeah, and I had a good time. I just didn't have the money to get the message out, and I was touting some great things like the combination of the sheriff and police departments. Now on the front page, I was touting that 4 years ago. I agree with Daryl, and to a large extent, but until the Steve Carters and the Coach Sids of the world get their butts in the black community and really be serious about being able to win this thing.
Coach Sid's coaching at a stream. Well, I understand, that's black community.
He just can't rely on the
By the way, he's 7-2 and faces 7-2 Brewley Friday night. I think he's still going to try to coach and be mayor.
Oh, no, don't start that. That was one of the rumors saying, look, I want to say this to you. 44 years, I met Coach Sid 23 years ago. One thing about me, I don't forget. I'm just like an elephant.
Yeah.
23 years ago, this man's been saving lives, and he's been turning boys into men.
A good man. But as I've stated, and that's one of the reasons why people say they were against Trump, they don't think he's a good man. But we've had good men. The best man in my lifetime as president was Jimmy Carter, and the best man as governor, I think you could make a case, was David Treen. And they both were terrible at their jobs but for various reasons. But sometimes a good person is not a good political political figure, and other times a bad person or seemingly bad person is very good.
I want to say this to you, and I've said it over and over again. What people didn't realize about Daryl W. Glasper, I was not a politician. I was a public servant, and when it's a difference.
Well, you were elected a couple of times.
But it's a difference. And so what we always say, we need a politician.
All right.
We need leadership.
All right. Well, Daryl is a guy who's remained committed to his community, and he sometimes tilts at windmills. He was with Hunter Lundy last time, but you choose the person.
Hard to go. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you. I'm an equal opportunity guy.
I know.
You know what that mean? That if you for the right thing, and I've always been for the right thing, Jim, and this community is thirsting to be brought back together, we need a healer. And that's what Coach Sid has done. Look here, he's been a turnaround expert.
I got you.
Yeah, because this broom don't sweep.
Well, but this broom has never lost an election, and I think Michael Baychuk, our political consultant, along with Trey Orso, they're very happy about what's happening now. They think they're going to win, and as I stated, until further notice, they are the favorites, and in this case, pretty substantial favorites. But Daryl's making a case that watch out for El Cid, the coach, to come in and upset the apple cart. Now, Eric Gayrod, in addition to being a lawyer and a recording artist, he was an author, and your book was?
101 Uses for Fat People.
And I hear it's coming back.
The new edition's coming out. It's a joke book about large people.
Well, how can you be for Trump?
He's slimming down. When he put that vest on, that garbage vest, he took off 20 pounds.
And did you see him? He could barely get in the truck.
But he pulled himself up eventually.
But Eric, God bless him, he's very happy today. And he put his money where his mouth was. He lost the love of his life, Michelle Smith, who dumped him because of Donald Trump. And here's the video. We'll close with this. Renee, let's hit it.
I had a girl who met the world. We never had a bump, but we found ourselves on different sides of the old political stump. The American way is to have your say, but she could not climb that hump. So she made the jump, now I'm a chump. I was dumped because of Trump. I was dumped because of Trump.
You were dumped.
Oh, I was dumped because of Trump.
You were dumped.
Yeah, I was dumped.
All right. 75 days away from Donald Trump returning to the White House. Until tomorrow, for Renee and Robin and Eric and Daryl, I'm Jim. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.